The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are starting at an odd time today due to some events coming up, but join us. Our co-host TJ Inman will be along with us as well. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs, and we're going to get underway shortly. First, we're going to talk about Media Day, going over what we expect to see, what we want answered, questions about the conference as well as Indiana. There have been several things brought to light in the last couple of days via kickoffs being talked about and some other things. So join us for that, but right now I want to go over some housekeeping items. IU is doing some satellite camps in the area. They did one in Florida this week, but they have some in Indy coming up on Wednesday, July 27th, all around the Indy metro area. So if you're a prospect or a parent of a prospect or a coach, please check those out. I believe this is the first time IU is holding these satellite camps around the area. We're very excited about it as well to see that. It should help boost some in-state recruiting. Maybe some guys from Ohio and Illinois are coming in as well, but that should make for a great Wednesday next week after Media Day. So we'll get that out of the way. Also, our countdown is still going on. We're day 43 today, so is Damian Willis Jr. So go ahead, give that a read. We also have our preview for Rutgers out, and I'll talk about Rutgers a little bit. I just finished watching Rutgers-Wisconsin game from last year. We had that game as a toss-up game for IU this year. It's a game they have to win in order to get to bowl eligibility. So we put it as IU win probability at 55%. There's reasons for that. Rutgers does have a lot of talent coming back on both sides of the ball. All those freshmen in the secondary will be grown up a little bit, and that experience should pay off. But they do lose Leonte Carew, who in two games, not even two full games, put up five touchdowns against IU in his career. So we'll be happy to see him gone on to something else. So check that out. We'll also have our Throwback Thursday tomorrow, which will look back at the bowl game from last year, and as well as day 42 of our countdown. So give us a follow on Twitter. It's at Hoosier_Huddle. You can find us on Facebook as well. Give us a like. You can download the podcast either from our site on Blog Talk Radio or look for us on iTunes. Get us and download us weekly. We'll have lots of shows coming up as well. So do that. Rate us on iTunes. You can rate us whatever you want. If you don't like us, you can rate us one star. If you do like us a little bit, you can rate us 3 stars or 2 stars. And if you think we do a pretty decent job, give us 4 or 5 stars. So we appreciate the feedback. Appreciate all the comments on the site as well. We've really upped that, and we're excited for the season. So TJ should be around coming in shortly. Here are some of the things I'm looking for on Media Day. Media Day is coming up next week, Monday and Tuesday in Chicago. IU's day. Now, the Media Day is a little different than it was in the past. They changed it up last year. So this year, IU is going to go on Tuesday, day 2. Wilson takes the podium at 8:15 Central Time, so 9:15 Eastern. If you're watching on TV, we'll be there. Our Our other Hoosier Huddle writer, Alex Compton, will be there as well. We'll talk to the three IU players going to Major Camille, Marcus Oliver, and Dan Feeney, as well as Coach Wilson. So some of the questions we're going to ask TJ and I will go over tonight, and we're just looking forward to this is our official kickoff of the season. If you're not excited for the football season yet, it's still too far away. Media day is that unofficial kickoff of the season. So we'll have that covered for you. We'll go over some questions we want answered, questions that have been answered, questions that still need to be answered, most important players for IU, and we'll be putting together a primer as well with our all Big Ten team. We'll go three teams deep. I will also give you a Big Ten sleeper and a Big Ten bust for 2016, as well as our 2016 playoff pick. So lots of content coming up, and let's start with Media Day. Media Day is, nothing breaking usually happens during Media Day, but it's an event where all the conferences, coaches come together, all the media. It gives us a chance to talk with all the coaches, all the players from different teams, and ask them the questions that we don't get to normally ask in the general setting. So we could talk to guys from Ohio State, from Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, guys we don't normally talk to. So it's a fun event. It's something that on TV, if you want to watch and listen, it's fun to listen. You could pick up some stuff and get to where coaches are at during fall camp, see what their expectations are for the year, and see what the plans for the conference are going forward as the commissioner, Jim Delaney, will speak. You'll also hear from the head of referees, Bill Carollo, as well. He'll have good stuff. There's new targeting rules in place in terms of replay and what replay could look at and call now. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There have been some talks about eliminating the kickoff as well. That's something that might be brought up in terms of IU. Their kickoff return wasn't very good, but they do have a weapon on the kickoff team in Griffin Oaks. So how the different coaches see that, and how will players react to that? It takes away a real weapon. It takes away a need at a position where you might just now carry a field goal kicker and not a kickoff guy. So, TJ, welcome to the show. I got started a little early. I was probably rambling, so I'm sorry, folks. But, TJ, welcome. Talking Media Day. Football season is literally right around the corner. How are you?
I'm doing well, yeah. The SEC coaches were doing their ESPN radio tours, so had that kind of another annual rite of passage that signifies we are churning through the dog days of summer and getting to the point where you can kind of realistically start to look at week one matchups, and it'd still be overanalyzing at this point, but you won't be completely crazy to do it.
Yeah, and we are crazy. We've almost analyzed every game preliminarily so far. But TJ, what are the things that you're looking forward or looking for in Media Day as an IU fan this year?
Sure, yeah, and I think it's important to remember that there are certainly questions we would love to have answered. We do need to be realistic about this, and we need to understand that, while it'd be great to ask Kevin Wilson, who is going to be your starting quarterback on September 1st? That's a question we'd love to have answered. We think we know it's Richard Legault, but we're not sure. And Kevin Wilson is not going to tell us, my starting quarterback on September 1st is going to be X. He's not going to tell us. So, that's not a question that we're not going to contemplate whether or not we ask at Media Day. So, these are questions that we're going to talk about tonight that we think are realistic ones that might get answered, might get a good answer out of the coaching staff or out of the players that are there. And one of the things that I'm interested in hearing talked about is whether or not is this how the players are adapting to the 4-2-5. What are some things that Kevin Wilson specifically is looking for that defense to bring besides just the obvious of better results? But what are some specifics that he's looking for that defense to bring? What are some things he's going to look for during fall practice and that he saw in the spring or during off-season workouts that he's encouraged by with players adapting to that defense? How does he feel the players are adapting to it? And then when you're asking the specific player that's there, which could be Marcus Oliver for the defense, what are some things that he's liked about it? What are some things he's encouraged by that he's seen? You could ask, the offensive players practicing against it. What are some things you guys saw? Dimitri Camille and Dan Feeney being there. What are some things you guys have seen that are different from the defense? So that's one of the things that I'm interested in hearing Kevin Wilson talk about is how his team overall is, number one, adapting to the defense so far and adapting to Tom Allen and Mark Hagan, the new members of the staff. And number two, how is the defense, how confident is he that they're going to be ready to execute that 4-2-5 on September 1st against Ford International? So that's the first thing that jumps out to me. It's a little bit obvious just because it's something we've talked about so much, but that's probably the first thing for me.
Yeah, and that's a hard question for coaches to, especially
sure.
Wilson, who
yeah.
doesn't really have that much access in the offseason to those workouts as much as assistants do. But that's a very valid question. New defensive coordinator, how are guys reacting to it? And that's something probably Marcus Oliver could answer better than Wilson. My question going forward is again about defense is what are they going to do with this defensive line? You have a lot of bodies there and some potential talent with Nate Hoff and Ralph Green. Are they going to tighten the rotation? Are they going to, especially going down to Florida, if Florida in September is anything like Indiana in July, it's going to be hot, hot and humid and gross, mm-hmm. and really tough to play only, six or seven guys. So at what point do they start looking at guys to tighten up a rotation like they do in basketball, those bench guys, or do they, start playing people, freely and seeing what combinations work, what doesn't work? I know a lot of people are nervous about that FIU game, and maybe that's something that gets asked as well. This is the first true road game they opened with in the Kevin Wilson era. How do you prepare for it? It's a Thursday night game. They haven't played a Thursday night game in a couple years. What's different about the travel schedule? You're going down to Miami. You have a lot of distractions down there. How does your team deal with all of that going on and still deal with the heat, deal with a vamped up crowd and deal with a very solid FIU team and come out with a win? Do you start playing, when IU had their backs against the wall last year at the end of the year, they played very well on the road. They were down 21-3 at Maryland and could have called it quits and said, you know what, it's not our year. It's just not going to go our way. But they, so to speak, buckled the chin strap, got it back on. So, it's a different team, different year, different leaders. How do they, adjust to going on the road against a team in a city with a lot of distractions? It's not like going to Iowa City where you could stay 30 or 40 minutes away in the middle of nowhere or in a hotel with no distractions. You're in Miami. There's lots to do and lots going on. And how do you keep your focus like that? So that's one of the questions I'd like to hear answered from coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned rotation concern to the defensive line. One of the rotations that I'm interested in seeing how it shakes out is going to be the running back and wide receiver rotation, which kind of leads into a question about tempo, with the new quarterback. But I would be interested to hear Kevin Wilson talk, if he would talk about this at all. I certainly wouldn't expect him to, reveal any, percentage of carries or anything like that. And that's not something they know at this point either. But I would be interested to hear kind of what his initial thoughts are on the arsenal of weapons this offense has and the versatility that a lot of the guys have, whether or not that's going to, number one, affect the way that he calls the games, affect the way that him and Kevin Johns set out attacking. Kind of, do you alter your offensive plans at all to utilize the versatility of the guys that they have? The guys like Devontae Williams, Mike Majette, Jason Harris, and the freshman coming in with Cole Guest, Tyler Nady, the running backs, multitude of running backs that they have, especially if Kamion's healthy. So you've got a lot of different weapons. So does that mean that you kind of set out with the unit and drive, put the pedal down on a drive, get into a rhythm, and then don't let the defense substitute by just keeping that same personnel and kind of switching packages because you have that ability to do so with the versatility, not substitute, but still be able to switch packages and really keep a defense on their heels? So ask him about that a little bit and ask him about how he thinks the running back distribution might be handled this year, because there's such a deep backfield, if he envisions kind of spreading the wealth there or having one or two bell cows that they rely upon. So, you wouldn't expect her there, but I would be interested to hear him talk about kind of the offensive philosophy and if he envisions it including or utilizing that versatility they have within a lot of their skill position players.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, what Legault, this is going more into camp, what Legault has picked up and how that will affect, how fast they could go. Because all these skill position players in the line, they're veteran guys. They know the offense. It won't be a lot of install for them, but how fast can Legault go? And that brings up a great point, TJ, as well. The Heat could work against FIU as well. If IU is going, have multiple guys who can play multiple positions and really get the tempo going, you could wear down that defense in the second half, maybe turn that game into a blowout and give, your backup quarterback some meaningful game reps in terms of getting game speed reps and running that offense. So you do have quality depth behind whoever starts. We do expect it, I suspect it's going to be Legault. Another question I'd have for them is kickoff.
Real quick, in theory, the depth for Indiana, you would think, and on paper it is this way, the depth for Indiana would be a strength compared to FIU. So if you could turn it into a second half battle of depth, you should have the advantage in that case. And like you said, the Heat should affect both teams. I mean, it's not like Indiana's going to be training, in, 60-degree weather with no humidity. They're going to be training in, right now it's, I don't know what it is outside, 80 with like 250% humidity or something, like 85 and 250% humidity. Heat indexes are going to be, I would imagine in the 80s and 90s, all throughout Indiana's fall camp. So, they're going to, these guys are used to humidity. So it's going to affect both teams somewhat equally. So if it turns into a battle of depth, you like Indiana's chances in being a little bit better in the second half than FIU would be, just because we think that the depth on this Indiana squad is better than it has been any time in recent memory.
Yeah, and another thing you could throw in there is, do you prepare for a weather delay? It's Florida. It's going to rain. There might be lightning. How do you mentally prepare yourself for weather delay? With that, my next question, it would be on special teams. It's something that, you know, they were very good at a lot of the special team aspects last year. They were good on kickoffs, kickoff coverage. They were good on field goals. They were pretty good on punts, and they were pretty good on punt returns. But the one that sticks out like a sore thumb is kickoff returns. And you think with all the depth they have at these skill positions, they could find two or three guys who could really be game breakers on kickoff return, give this offense a short field, not make them have to go, you know, 75, 80 yards every time. And, you know, you saw it in the middle of last year, and you saw Wilson talk about it, that every single drive was a grind for that offense, going 70 yards to get points, 80 yards to get points. So do they use some of these guys coming back from knee injuries? Do they use Jason Harris there, who's good, who's pretty good his freshman year? Do you use, you know, Rashard Fant back there, even though you're thin at quality depth at corner? And he's your number one guy. Do you use Devontae Williams, who's coming off his Isaac James with the shoulder injury? You know, some of these guys, do you put them at risk? But they do have quality guys. Do you move Mitchell Page back to kickoff return after having a good year returning punts? So that's a place where IU can improve and improve offensively and give their defense sort of a break. By setting up better field position instead of, you know, if the offense stalls, maybe punt in and pin them inside the 20 instead of punting, you know, from your own 30 and giving them the ball at the 30 or 35. So that's something that, you know, I asked last year. I'll ask it again this year because it's really been a weakness over the last couple years.
Yeah, and I, you know, special teams is one of those things that can impact close games. It does impact close games, not just can, it absolutely does. When those things that people call little things turn into big things is when the game is close. And Indiana, unfortunately, lost a lot of close games last year. You know, IU has gotten to the point where they are able to compete against most teams on their schedule, if not all teams on their schedule. They're competing with these two people. They're competing with Ohio State. They're competing with Michigan, competing with Michigan State. They're right there. But it's one thing to be right there, and it's another to get over that hump and turn that close game that was fun into a signature win. I'd just like to hear Coach Wilson talk about how you kind of what they've worked on in the offseason, what they're going to continue to work on in the offseason to turn those close losses into close wins. You know, you're not going to win all the close games. That's unrealistic. It happens to some teams, you know, once in a century, you get that magical season where it clicks. We're still waiting on that for Indiana, but you know, it does happen where you just you're got the horseshoe up your butt and you're winning all those close games. But you would think that occasionally you'd win one of those against a top tier team. And I'd like to hear how Indiana has kind of approached getting over that hump, if you will.
Yep, and you see all these games where, you know, Indiana's winning up until the third quarter, then the other team scores a big touchdown. And a way to get some of that momentum back is getting a big kick return out to the, you know, the 40 or into their territory or, you know, God forbid, returning it for a touchdown. So, you know, it's a spot in the game where, you know, if you're bad at it, nobody really notices. If you're good at it, it could win you a game or two. And if you're truly awful at it, it's going to cost you a game. And Indiana's somewhere in between. They're not awful. They're just not good on kickoff returns. But every other part of their special teams is very, very solid. They have the reigning Big Ten kicker of the year in Griffin Oaks. They have Mitchell Page, who was an all-Big Ten honorable mention, I believe, as a punt returner. And he's on several of the on the preseason All Big Ten teams as a punt returner as well. And you know, it'll be interesting to see if he says, you know, we're not going to take that many risks because we have the offense to score points, or like basically don't fumble the kickoff and we'll be okay. If they take that conservative approach, or if they say, you know what, let's give our offense a little bit of a break and get some yards and take some chances and put some guys back there. Cause we both know that they have so much talent back there. That has speed that could be game breakers. It's a matter of, you know, who they want to use.
Yeah, the one area of special teams that we're not sure about what to expect is the punting. Joseph Gideon moving in there. We know he's got a big leg. Consistency is going to be the question. Can he, you know, avoid having any shanks? Can he avoid, you know, having, oh, there's a 55-yard punt and there's a, you know, 30-yard punt with very little hang time? Can you avoid kind of that roller coaster? You know, we'll see. We don't know what to expect there. Always look good in practice. Always look good in warm-ups and stuff like that. So we'll see about that. But that's another aspect of the special teams that is a bit of an unknown. The kick returns and the punting is going to be interesting to see. You know, another question that I would have would be it somewhat pertains to Kevin Wilson, but with the Big Ten coaches as a whole, I would like to see if anybody talks about, and it's kind of gained momentum here just in the internet college football community, which, you know, can be kind of insular, but I do think it's a very interesting topic, is kind of getting rid of division play. SB Nation worked up Bill Connolly and a couple of other people at SB Nation worked up kind of a what would schedules look like? What would a non-division format look like for these conferences? And for the Big Ten, what would it do? For the SEC, what would it do? If you took away the divisions, what would these schedules look like? And it's really a template that I think makes all the sense in the world, particularly for the schools in the Big Ten East. I'm sure the schools in the West are probably not itching to get rid of these divisions, but I'd like to see if any coaches had seen anything about it, what they thought about getting rid of the divisions. You'd still have some protected rivalries. You know, they'd take care of those, and that would still be under schedule every year. It would just, like Indiana would not be stuck playing Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State every single year. That would be on a rotation unless that was one of their protected rivalries. So I'd be interested to see if Kevin Wilson had anything to say about it, if any of the other Big Ten coaches had anything to say about kind of that, the thought of not having divisions within football and having kind of more balanced schedules of what it would work out to. The biggest issues, obviously, in the conference title game, you wouldn't have that automatic, okay, you win your division, you're in, into the conference title game. But I'd be interested to see if anybody talked about that that topic as a whole.
Yeah, and then I read that article too, TJ. It came out, I believe, like a month or so ago. And it was a real interesting read in terms of, you know, it's really unbalanced. And sure, time might change. But, you know, to build up some football rivalries for Indiana, they need to play some teams that, you know, they could beat or have, a good chance of where the series could be even. Like a team like Illinois could be a nice rival. It's a border game. A team like Northwestern could be, a nice rivalry for Indiana. And stuff like that. But trying to, you know, one of the biggest things, they have a trophy game with Michigan State, but nobody really realizes it's a rivalry game because Michigan State's won the last 10 games, or they haven't lost to Indiana since 06. I'm sure there's some gap years in there, but they haven't lost in almost 10 years now. And that's, you know, even the last NCAA football game for Xbox didn't have the brass spittoon in it and the rivalry games. They had, you know, some whatever the wagon wheel from Kent State Akron, but they didn't have the, you know, the brass spittoon for a Big Ten rivalry game. And so, you know,
pour one out for the video game.
Yeah, pour one out for the video game, which I really hope they bring back one day because it's a really fun game.
All the players hope they bring it back
podcast.
Too. They didn't mean to lose their best dorm room entertainment. That wasn't their intent, I don't think.
Yeah, that's another podcast for another day is
yeah.
Will they ever bring back the NCAA video game? Hopefully so, but you know it's stuff like that. You know, I'd like to see Ohio State play Nebraska and Wisconsin every year. Wisconsin, Ohio State was heated for a while. And then it kind of cooled off because they hadn't played in a while, and that Big Ten championship game was like a million to nothing. But, you know, Ohio State-Nebraska is a good game. Ohio State-Iowa is a good game. You know, Michigan State-Iowa, Michigan State-Nebraska, I know they've played recently. But, you know, having these games, you know, Penn State-Nebraska, and maybe seeing some of these new teams from the West as well, you know, IU hasn't seen Nebraska yet, and this is the first year. But they also won't travel to Lincoln until at least 2018, I believe. And, you know, that's a shame because Lincoln is a football destination. It's, you know, they've sold out over 450 consecutive games. I don't know the exact number, but it's a shame that IU fans don't get to travel to Lincoln to see that kind of atmosphere. And stuff like that. So, you know, maybe that will work. I do suggest our listeners go, you know, Google that article or bring it up on Twitter. We'll try and find the link later for you. But it was a good idea where I think each team has three rivals, and then in a 2-year period, you'd play everybody in the conference, and that to me is more fair. If it turns out to be all about money and, you know, they'll have to figure out a way to do the Big Ten championship game because there's just too much money in it to lose it or not play it. And it's a great event in Indianapolis too.
I mean, the student athlete, you know, for the players is if you stay all 4 years, you're going to play, if it's a 14 team conference, you're going to play at every venue that the conference has to offer. So, you know, if you are an Indiana player and you are there all 4 years, you are going to play at the Big House. You're going to play at Nebraska. You're going to play at, you know, Minnesota. You're going to play at Iowa. You're going to play at every venue. And I think that's something that's cool. I mean, that's, you know, you get to experience the entire conference during your 4-year career. And I think that's a cool thing. A little bit better setup than what they have right now.
Yeah, and you know what? If they have to figure out the Big Ten championship game, let them. But just playing in the Big Ten East, it's so stacked against the West right now. It's not even funny. I mean, it's, you know, you have, you know, Michigan's a good team, and they're going to beat up on each other. And you got lucky with a good Big Ten championship game last year. But you look at Ohio State, Wisconsin, and some of these other games where, you know, maybe that's not the best matchup. Maybe, you know, Wisconsin's not the second best team in the Big Ten. And maybe it was actually Michigan. And I know they'll probably want to avoid a Michigan-Ohio State rematch in the Big Ten championship game. But I'd love to see the top two teams of the Big Ten going at it. And maybe they saw that last year with Iowa and Michigan State. And that was a great game to watch. The crowd was into it. I was into it. You know, the Michigan State crowd was into it, and it was an awesome game. But yeah, we'll see. That could be a question for both the commissioner and all the coaches. You know, what's their opinion on playing in a stacked division? How does it and how does it help playoff standings? You know, every team wants to get to the playoffs. How will that help Iowa or a team from the West? Now playing a more balanced schedule where they're like, you know what, they played in the Big Ten West. They went through a weak Big Ten West. you know, they don't really deserve to be on the, you know, in the playoff. You know, you're trying now. You become like a Boise State, where, okay, what did you do this season in the Big Ten West? Instead of, you know, they're a really good team, they knocked off some good teams, but now it's, you know, okay, you beat Ohio State once on one day, and that happens, and we've seen it happen. But, you know, I'd love to see it. There was another, a few years ago, I think there was another idea of just making whatever the 64 power conference teams and just jumbling them all together and doing random schedules and random every year. And I think that would be fun. Who knows? Indiana could play, you know, Oklahoma or play, you know, TCU. And go to a lot of different places. Now, that would totally blow up my travel budget, but it would be cool to see some different games. And maybe you have some protected rivalries. You keep Purdue on the schedule. You keep some Midwest teams on the schedule like that. Or, you know, you just jumble up something. So, scheduling is definitely something that they need to talk about. And with a few seconds left, TJ, I just want to point out that Big Ten Media Days, I wouldn't expect, you know, any world-shattering news to come out. There might be some position changes, might be some roster updates that we'll see, and we'll keep you updated. TJ, you'll be manning the message boards as best as you can during those days. Feel free to ask us questions during it. We'll post quotes, try and post videos as much as possible while we're up there. And we'll try to make it as interactive and as fun as possible. I know this is one of the bigger days on the college football calendar.
Yeah, any news that does come out or interesting tidbits or quotes or anything from Kevin Wilson or, you know, noteworthy stuff from the other Big Ten schools that would affect IU, we'll get all that up on the message boards. We'll get it up on the site. You know, we'll have our takeaways from Media Day and all that, and then after that, we'll kind of reset with things we've learned and start preparing for fall camp.
Yeah, and we'll have our previews going. I know other people are putting out their previews right now. We decided to wait. I want to see what we could see in practice what this team brings before we do all this guesswork on it. We got an early start to our previews, but I'd really like to see Legault throw the ball, see for myself how much he has improved, and then we could go from there. So that's why we have delayed our previews, but they will be coming out. It'll be fast and furious. So the season is 43 days away, and it's coming up fast. And thanks for joining us, TJ. Always a pleasure talking football with you. And to our listeners and readers, thank you for being with us throughout the off season. Your fellowship has been awesome, and we can't wait to get this season started.
I absolutely agree. Yep. Have a great week, everybody.
That does it for this edition of the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We'll be back with you after Media Days to talk about our takeaways. Thanks, and have a great evening.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.